Inheritance. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the American Legion, presents a story out of that great composite of visions, struggles, and victories of the American past. Our inheritance. Yes, we Americans are heirs to a vast fortune. A fortune compounded of many things. Of fearless adventurers exploring mighty rivers. Of mountain men blazing trails through a forest wilderness. And the voice of a great bell proclaiming liberty. It is the Rough Riders battling up San Juan Hill. And the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk. Let us now go back to a significant time in America's history, one which we all share in our inheritance. Throughout our American history, the man in uniform has played an important and outstanding role in providing for the safety and well-being of our people, not only in time of war, but also when destructive forces and elements threaten lives and property in peacetime. Whether it's a flood in Ohio, a hurricane in New England, or an explosion in Texas, the men of our armed services are ready to lend that type of unselfish assistance, which has been called above and beyond the line of duty. These qualities of courage and unselfishness are their inheritance to us all. Today we present a story which will serve as a graphic illustration of that inheritance. A story gleaned from the official report of General Frederick Funston.
To the Secretary of War. Dear Mr. Secretary, I have the honor to make the following report on the work of the troops in the city of San Francisco from the morning of the 18th of April, 1906, until the 22nd of the same month. My wife and I were living on Washington Street, and we were sleeping soundly.
Ida, wake up.
What? Fred. What is it? Fred, what's happening?
Earthquake.
Oh, no. What should we do?
Get out of here. Quick, get dressed.
Yes. Yes. Fred, I'm frightened.
Stay calm. There's no time for hysterics. Hurry.
I'm hurrying. My shoe, I can't. Fred, help me.
Here. There. Are you ready? Let's go.
Fred! I can't stand up.
Give me a hand, dear.
Yes, don't let go.
Careful. That's it.
Fred!
The door. We're almost there.
Hurry!
Here we are.
Where can we go?
This way. Quickly.
No! No, look! Those cracks in the street.
Wait.
What is it?
The earthquake. It's stopping.
Oh, thank God.
Come, Ida.
Where are we going?
I'm sending you to the Presidio, where you'll be safe. And then I'm going to contact Mayor Schmitz. I hailed a passing carriage, asked the driver to take my wife to the Presidio. Then I set out to find Mayor Schmitz. The streetcars weren't running, so I hurried on foot to the business part of the city. I noticed columns of smoke rising in various sections, particularly in the region south of Market. Fire had broken out when the quake overturned oil lamps in the crude wooden shacks. As I turned east on California Street, I ran into a policeman. I'm General Funston, officer. How can I contact Mayor Schmitz?
I don't know, sir. The entire telephone system is paralyzed.
I must reach him.
Well, try the Hall of Justice. He might be there.
Thank you. Do you have a pencil?
Sure. Yeah.
Thanks. Would you see that this note gets to the commanding officer at the Presidio and at Fort Mason?
Right.
They're to turn out their entire garrison and report for duty at the Hall of Justice. Here. Don't waste any time.
Yes, sir.
I'll be with Mayor Schmitz.
Yes, come in.
Mayor Schmitz, I'm General Funston.
General Funston?
Temporarily in charge of the Presidio during General Greeley's absence.
Is there something I could do for you?
I came here to do something for you.
How?
I'd like to put all Army personnel and equipment at your disposal. I've already sent word to alert the men.
Oh, thank you, General. We need all the help we can get. Quake, the fires, the looting, we just can't be everywhere at once.
We'll do what we can.
This is a terrible thing that's happening. Terrible.
What are you doing to check the fires?
Every fire company is out, and the fireboats in the harbor are standing by in case the fire spreads within their reach.
Excellent.
But the wind is hindering us at every turn. As soon as we put out the fire in one area, it breaks out in another. We just can't keep up with it. We don't have enough men.
The men from the Presidio and Fort Mason will soon be here.
Now, there's something else. Just before you arrived, I received word that the water mains have burst. Won't be long before our water supply runs out.
Well, if that should happen, we'll use artillery and dynamite to stop the fire.
Dynamite?
Yes. We'll set up a fire break at the best possible location, and... You have a map of the city?
Oh, yes, right over here on the wall.
Good.
Now, the various little fires have merged into one big one to the south of this point.
I see.
Which approaches the area including roughly the Palace Hotel, Hall Building Emporium, and the Flood Building.
Then I suggest we set up our fire break more to the west, somewhere in this vicinity, bordered by Market, Taylor, and Sutter.
Excellent.
Captain Coleman's men should be on their way from the Presidio soon. They'll bring us all the powder and dynamite we need.
Come on, you guys. Come on. We ain't got all day to load those caissons. Captain Coleman said we got to be ready to move out in 10 minutes, so get going.
Hey, McGinty.
Hi, Jackson.
Haven't you got that thing loaded yet?
Look, don't you start anything. I'm having a bad enough time as it is. You guys hear what I said? Move! You got your case unloaded yet?
Sure.
Well, and how about giving me a hand so we can get going?
Okay.
Only a couple of more left. Got it?
Got it.
Yeah. Come on.
No. All right. Come on.
Okay, okay. This is the last one.
Lift. Oh. Boy, they're heavy.
Yeah, plenty.
Yeah, how much powder we got all together?
Well, there's 48 barrels on these caissons, and the rest is on those two wagons back there.
How much?
All the civilian engineering department could give us, plus about 300 pounds of dynamite.
Well, that ought to take care of the fire.
Well, let's hope so. Okay, you men, get on those wagons. Sergeant Jackson and I will drive the caissons. You all set?
Yeah.
Okay, then let's go. Hey, Sergeant Jackson!
What's the trouble, McGinty?
You want to go on living?
Sure do.
Well, then slow down.
Can't. We got work to do.
Slow down or there won't be any of us to do the work. What do you think you're hauling, cabbages?
We're going to stop the fire. We got to deliver this dynamite pronto.
Okay, okay. But it's your funeral.
As soon as Captain Coleman's men arrived, we set off the dynamite charges. But the flames swept over the demolished areas, and the terrific heat started new blazes. By mid-morning that first day, the fire was out of control. When the water in the broken mains began to give out, hundreds of gallons of sewer water were used, but the fire kept spreading. North of Market, the area became an inferno. Colonel Morris's men had already reached the United States Mint on Fifth Street and joined the civilian employees in a battle to keep the flames from reaching the building.
You men! Move all those desks away from the windows. Anything else that'll burn. Sergeant Walker?
Yes, sir.
Try to get a stronger stream out of that hose.
Yes, sir.
And wet down that wall. The rest of you keep your eyes on the fire.
Colonel Jester.
Yes, what is it?
Those men coming this way.
Looters. All right, Walker. Tell the men to look alive. We may have to use our guns. And Walker.
Yes, sir.
Fire over the looters' heads. If that doesn't scare them off, then shoot to kill.
Yes, sir.
Hey, in there. How about some free samples?
Get away from that window.
I
order you to get away from here.
Well, what do you know? It's a bunch of little tin soldiers.
I'm warning you. We're armed.
Oh, you got guns, huh? What do you shoot with them? Cork? Sir Water.
I'm ordering you to disperse.
Oh, the little tin soldier's getting tough. Hey, I'm scared.
For the last time, Get away from that window. Tell the rest of your friends to get away from the door.
We don't need no door, soldier boy. We'll just wait around for the fire to get a little closer and let us in. And you hear those bells go ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Take your positions at the windows.
Oh,
good. Sergeant Walker.
Yes, Colonel.
Those wagons we came in still around back?
Yes, sir.
Good. Tell the men back there to stand by. There's a quartermaster steamer moored at the foot of Market Street. If these looters or the fire get out of control, we'll load the money on the wagons and deliver it to the steamer.
All of it, sir?
All of it.
Will we have time, sir?
We'll do it, Sergeant Walker. Now get back to the window.
Yes, sir.
How'd you like to hear where you get that hat, huh? Hey, you hear me, soldier boy?
For the last time, get away from here.
Nobody's ordering us to do nothing, soldier boy. Come on, we waited long enough. Let's rush them. Come on.
Here they come, men. Prepare to fire. Open their hands, remember. All right, ready, aim, fire.
The looters were routed by the first volley, and for 7 hours our troops continued to battle the flames around them with a 5-inch hose. By late afternoon, the flames were stopped, and the money was saved. But south of Market, the fire ate its way through the workers' shacks, and on the north, flames reached a paper warehouse and raged anew. We were hard-pressed as we battled, without pause, to check the fire. By the evening of that first day, the Presidio was crowded with the injured, the homeless, and the dying.
Come on, baby. A little more milk, hmm? Yeah, the bottle's almost empty. That's right. Just a little bit more.
Mrs. Funston, ma'am.
What? Oh, Captain Edwards.
Don't you think you'd better take it easy for a while? You've been going steady since this morning.
Now, what time is it?
It's almost 8:30.
Well, I seem to have lost all sense of time.
Yeah, we all have.
There, that's better. Poor little thing. Frightened, hungry. His mother too badly injured to care for him. Where is this all going to end?
I wish I could tell you, ma'am. They've been streaming in here all day long.
Poor souls.
Would you like to walk outside for a little fresh air?
Yes, thank you. I think I would. Yeah. All this suffering and pain. It's terrible.
The rumors make it worse.
Rumors?
People insisting that Manhattan Island has been completely covered by a tidal wave and Chicago has disappeared into Lake Michigan.
And they believe such fantastic rumors?
Oh, fear and panic can play strange tricks, Mrs. Funston.
Oh, that's better.
I wonder how General Funston and the men are doing.
You'd like to be there with them, wouldn't you, Captain?
Oh, they can use every man they can get.
Then why don't you go?
I'm afraid there's too much to be done here.
Oh, there are enough of us here to manage. You go ahead.
Oh, thank you, but...
Yes?
If I go, would you try to get some sleep, ma'am?
I'll try, Captain Edwards.
I assure you, Mr. Secretary, none of the military slept much that night. The fire remained unchecked, and with the Hall of Justice threatened, it was necessary to move both division and department headquarters to a safer and more convenient point. After quick deliberation, we decided to use the only government building available in the vicinity of the fire, the quarters of the permanent division commander at Fort Mason. Once established there, I held another conference with the mayor on the morning of the 19th.
Good morning, General.
Morning, Mayor Schmitz.
What's the latest report?
It's getting worse. Fire is beginning to spread to the southwest and the northeast. And the wind is slowly fanning it toward the residential section on Russian Hill.
How about the southern section?
I haven't been able to get a report from there yet this morning, but since the fire has gone as far up on Market Street as it has...
You can consider the southern part of the city lost, is that it?
Let's hope not. But I suggest we divide what remains of the city into sections. West of Van Ness, I'll assign to our regular troops. The remainder of the troops we'll keep in the vicinity of the advancing fire line. Now, here's my plan. We'll set up our field pieces on Pacific Heights,
and by leveling the houses between us and the fire, set up a fire break. Sergeant.
Yes, sir, General.
Bring that powder over here.
Yes, sir.
The rest of you give the fireman a hand.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Captain Rollin.
Yes, General.
Are the men getting the field traces in place?
Well, they're almost ready, sir.
Tell them to maintain their positions until I signal you.
I don't know how much longer the men can stand it, sir. The fire's still six blocks away, and we can feel the heat up here already.
Yes, I know. But we'll have to hold our position until the very last minute. We must stop the fire at Van Ness.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Captain Rollin, sir.
Yes, Jackson?
The firemen have used up the last of the sewer water. What do we do now?
General?
We'll have to use the guns now. Sergeant?
Yes, sir?
Get back down there and tell the civilians to clear the area.
Yes, sir. You people clear the area. Come
Captain
on,
Rollin.
Get away. Clear it.
Tell your men to stand by. With the last of the sewer water gone, we went into action. The guns were mounted on the west side of Van Ness Avenue to command the houses and lots opposite. Dynamite was planted by the troops. As the fire came closer, asbestos roofs on the far side of Van Ness began to curl. Trickles of smoke showed on the sides of the houses next to the soldiers. The walls were too hot to touch. Gunners ducked behind the artillery, their brows and hair singed. 2 hours later, we were ready. Captain Rollin?
Yes, sir?
Tell your men to get ready.
Armed men on your feet. Sergeant Jackson.
Yes, Captain.
Everyone clear?
All clear.
Now, what's the debris?
All ready, sir.
Stand by.
Stand by.
Stand by.
Prepare to fire.
Prepare to fire.
Prepare to fire.
Fire.
Fire. Seem to have stopped it here, General.
Yes, Captain Rollin.
It's heading north toward Sutter Street.
We don't have to worry. It'll burn itself out.
And you think we've licked it, sir?
Let us hope so.
Captain Rollin, Captain Rollin. General, sir.
What is it, Sergeant?
The fire, sir. It's broken out again.
What?
Yes, sir. It's heading toward the waterfront and Telegraph Hill.
The sergeant was right. Fire had turned its course toward Telegraph Hill and Chinatown. Troops were rushed from the southern part of the city, and they worked valiantly to evacuate the people in the doomed area. Through the streets streamed the Chinese merchants and their families. But the hysteria we met in other sections seemed strangely missing here.
All right, you people, come on, hurry it up, keep moving. You there, old man, can't you move just a little bit faster?
There is no need for haste, my young friend.
Well, the fire's getting mighty close, Grandfather, and this is going to wait for you.
The fire is regrettable, but it is wiser to proceed with caution like the tortoise than to rush headlong into danger like the hare.
All right, Grandfather,
and
but let's...
if you will take some further words from an old man, my son, let us be both virtuous and bold. For the virtuous man is free from anxieties, the bold man free from fear. And when fear is absent, danger may pause by the wayside.
Okay, we'll take it easy. But it beats me how you people can stay so calm at a time like this.
Slowly, we moved the Chinese out of the doomed area. And then we worked swiftly to stem the flames. More troops were called out. On the 18th, Admiral McCullough, commanding the Mare Island Navy Yard, sent out a body of Marines who continued to patrol the city all that day and night. The Pacific Squadron arrived on the 19th, and a force was landed to give their assistance. Water was our main problem now. We exhausted the supply from Golden Gate Park, and the fireboats began pumping water from the bay. The fire continued to spread and circled Russian Hill. Hit the gas plant at the foot of Powell Street on the North Shore, and the gigantic explosion started new fires which approached Telegraph Hill from three sides. Here, Irishmen and Italians who had evacuated their families were waiting to help us.
Sergeant Wakely! You and your men set off that charge!
Hey, you're dead!
Soldier, will you listen to me for just a minute?
Yes, what is it?
Be you the officer in charge?
Of this section, yes.
Then you're me man. This is our district, lieutenant or general, whatever you are. And we're offering you our assistance.
Thanks. We can use it.
If we work shoulder to shoulder, we'll beat this visitation of Satan. Or my name ain't Thomas Dudley over Flaherty.
Right, Mr. O'Flaherty. I accept your offer.
All right. Now, thanks, me bucko. Hey, Finnegan, hold a hand. Take up them axes and start swinging. We got us the scrap we have. And now, sir, is there any other way we can serve you?
Yes. We need water. Lots.
Oh, is it water you're after having now? Well, we can't furnish you with no reservoirs, but there's an ocean out there, and we got a mess of beer buckets that... Well, they ain't working at this moment. But you just said the word, and you'll see a bucket brigade form up right before your very eyes.
All right, Mr. O'Flaherty. Form your brigade.
All right, it's as good as done. All right, come on now, lad. Let's get a move on. There's work to be done here now.
Sergeant Walker!
Yes, Colonel?
You've seen Lieutenant Stewart?
Yes, sir. He's right over there.
Good. Tell him to send someone to Fort Mason and report to General Funston that it looks like we've isolated the fire in this area.
Yes, sir. Right away.
You men! Give Mr. O'Flaherty a hand with those buckets!
Hey, Mr. Soldier!
Yes, yes.
Che posso fare? Voglio...
Just a minute.
Che dici?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Oh, excuse me, please. I get excited. I'm a Colucci. O'Flaherty, you say you gotta have a water for put out a fire, see?
That's right, Mr. Colucci.
Oh, we don't have no water, but we got a wine, plenty wine.
Wine?
What's the matter? Wine, she's a wet, see?
Yes.
And the fire, she's a hot, see?
Yes,
okay.
But...
You got it the fire, we got it the wine. If you don't put out of the fire, the wine, she's not going to do us no good. Ben, you take it the wine, put out of the fire, then everybody she's happy. What do you say?
Viva vino, Mr. Colucci.
Yeah. Hey, you hear what Mr. Soldier says? He says a viva vino. Venite, amici. Bring out of the wine. Bring out of the wine.
For over 72 hours, we had fought the fire. The infantry, artillery, the Corps of Engineers, the Navy and the Marine Corps, all of us joined with the civilians, police force, and the fire department in the battle to save a city. Slowly, the flames were beaten back to the seawall on the north shore, and on the morning of April 21st, 3 days after the earthquake had set off the inferno, the fire was finally stopped for good. An area of 497 city blocks, some 4 square miles, was devastated. Thousands of buildings and hundreds of lives were lost, and the central business and residential districts were a shambles. But the battle had been won.
Well, General Funston, it's over.
Yes, yes, Mayor Schmitz.
What now?
Well, now, plans must be made to clear away the debris and to rebuild what's been destroyed. Again, I offer you the services of the Army.
Thank you, General. But you and your troops have already done more than your share.
If San Francisco is to be rebuilt, it's a job for all of us.
It's most gratifying to hear you say that, General, and to know that others feel as you do.
Hmm? Others?
I've already received word from Chicago pledging $1 million toward our reconstruction program.
Well, that's a most generous offer.
Everyone has been most generous. Here in the West Coast, ports as far north as Washington are sending steamers loaded with provisions and rescue workers. We San Franciscans will never be able to repay those who helped and are still helping us, particularly you military men. Thank you, General Funston.
Don't mention it, sir. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'm very tired.
Look, Red. Almost everywhere you turn, there's desolation and destruction. San Francisco is half a city.
Yes. But it will rise again.
I wonder.
Ida, do you remember the legend of the phoenix?
No, I don't believe I do.
The phoenix, according to Egyptian mythology, was a huge bird, almost as big as an eagle. It was a handsome bird, perhaps a little too handsome with its feathers of gold and white and crimson. As it grew older, it became stronger, noisier. When it reached its maturity, it consumed itself in its own fire, only to rise again, more beautiful and more dignified than ever. So it will be with San Francisco.
God willing. Now, Don't you think you'd better come home and get some sleep?
I could use some right now.
You deserve it. But first I'll fix you some good, nourishing food.
Hmm? Food?
Fred, when did you eat last?
When? Well, it was... No. No, it must have been... Come to think of it, I haven't eaten anything since yesterday morning.
The Phoenix did rise again, more beautiful and dignified, just as General Frederick Funston said it would. But San Francisco is more than a reborn city. It is a memorial to a great inheritance. Not only an inheritance of military resourcefulness and patriotism, but an inheritance of Americanism. The ability of the American people, military and civilian, to work together unselfishly and untiringly in time of peril and disaster. Let us remember that inheritance. You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. We're privileged this evening to hear from the National Historian of the American Legion, Department of South Carolina, Mr. Robert T. Ferry.
The story of the great disaster which befell San Francisco and the way in which the crisis was met by the services and by the civilian population demonstrates the spirit of courage and mutual helpfulness which has always been a character of our people in times of peace or war. The American Legion believes in volunteer community groups which can be pressed into service in the face of such disaster in the preparation and training of rescue squads. Through the Legion's National Security Program, 605 American Legion rescue teams are organized and functioning today. Other civil defense activities in which Legion posts are participating include auxiliary firemen, auxiliary police, first aid, blood donor, ground observer corps, communications, and manpower pools. A particularly vital community activity being carried on by many American Legion departments and posts is Legion participation in the ground observer corps. Due to the limitations of radar and because of the continuing possibility of attack, this program was the subject of a National Convention resolution and has been declared to be of utmost importance to our overall defense organization. It is of the utmost importance that civic groups be prepared to function intelligently in the event of fire, flood, earthquake, or enemy attack. General public education is most important to overcome apathy. American history shows that our people have always acted bravely and wisely in the face of unusual or tragic events. Let us not, however, depend on the innate ability of our citizens to function in time of crisis. Let us be a prepared citizenry that we may protect ourselves and the way of life which is our inheritance.
Thank you, Mr. Robert T. Ferry. Next week, Inheritance will take you on another journey through the pages of history to a time when Americans dreaming of the future forged that which we possess today. Today's story, To Save a City, was written by Milt Kahn and featured Les Tremain as General Frederick Funston. Included in the cast, in order of their appearance, were Julie Bennett, Leroy Leonard, Tyler McVeigh, John Larch, Hal Gerard, Tom McKee, Herb Vigran, Dick Ryan, and Don Diamond. The original music was composed and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Inheritance is produced and directed for the National Broadcasting Company and the American Legion by Albert McCleary. This is John Wall speaking. Tonight, hear Meet the Press with John L. Lewis on the NBC Radio Network.